I really wish I could see some lights out here so I could see you. If you'd have to indulge me just for a second, we've been singing about the faithfulness of the Lord and the love of the Lord. And the Lord shows his love to us by the way he works things out in our lives. He's a faithful God. Day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, he is faithful in our lives. You see, the very first CMC I ever attended, there were 32 of us. And you just have to indulge me for a second. This is a pretty special moment. Indication of the faithfulness of our God and the love of God for us and the love of God for university students and the love of God for the world and the love of God that he can use students to do something to change and extend the tent posts of the kingdom of God through the lives of the mission that he's called us to. So if you're 67, you can say God has been faithful. If you're 22, you've already learned because you're here. God is faithful. God is faithful. I have the privilege this week to introduce all of the plenary speakers. And I collect, this is probably no surprise, but I collect definitions for the word discipleship. And so I'm going to start each introduction with a definition. Tonight, the definition is, discipleship is the process of exemplifying in an ever-increasing manner the character, convictions, and conduct of Jesus. This definition of discipleship highlights the necessity for continuous growth in Christ. This truth is a core conviction of our speaker. Our speaker tonight is a long-time disciple maker. He has, without hesitation, like the Apostle Paul, asked many students and staff to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Tonight, I have the privilege of introducing to this stage our Senior National Director, E. Scott Martin. Oh, I'm not done with you yet. Many people over the years have asked me, what does the E stand for in Scott's name? He kind of keeps it a secret. But tonight, I will reveal the concealed truth. The E in Scott's name stands for exemplary. Exemplary means someone who serves as a cherished example, someone who represents the best of his kind. Isn't it great to have a national director who leads us by example? Over 30 years ago, he started a Chi Alpha group at the University of Arizona as a student leader. He has preached in the open air, equipped student leaders, led small groups, cast out the demonic, led foreign missions trips, introduced students to Christ, and comforted heartbroken souls. He served as the Arizona District Chi Alpha Director, and then 20 years ago, he and Crystal forged the student missions arm of Chi Alpha. Together, they dreamed and prayed the four world mission summits into existence, and now multiple hundreds of Chi Alpha graduates have already, or are presently, or shortly will be, serving to spread the gospel of Christ to the four corners of the world. Now, I had to mention Crystal because that's just how they roll. Scott loves teamwork, and the first and most primary leadership team is his relationship with Crystal and his sons. Isn't it great to know that Scott has done everything you hope to do on your campus? He leads by example. But here is something you really don't know. Scott's name is magical because his E stands for two more things. The E also stands for extraordinary. Scott is a remarkably great leader. He endorses and empowers others without micromanaging. He affirms, he cares, while at the same time handling multiple tasks simultaneously. He has an extraordinary love for the cultures of the world. He's just as comfortable in Kazakhstan, Kenya, and Kuwait as he is in Kansas City. I've always been impressed with his extraordinary courage that has taken him to the most spiritually destitute and potentially dangerous places of the world. Scott is extraordinary. He is also extraordinarily loving, and he inspires others to be more loving. He has an ocean of emotion just below the surface. Scott especially loves children. Scott loves his kids and your kids. He loves you and the campuses you serve. He wants to visit with you in your home and walk with you on your campus and pray with your kids. It's hard to find a person with more great friends than E. Scott Martin. And E also stands for excellent. Scott is a highly competent overachiever in intellect, communication, creating favor, and strategic management. He expects excellence from himself, and he inspires excellence from those closest to him. You will shortly hear why excellence is so important to him. So now the secret's out. And I'd like for you to help me to welcome to the stage our Senior National Director of Chi Alpha Campus Ministries, the excellent, extraordinarily exemplary, Scott Martin.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, guys. Oh, man. Please. Okay, I feel the love, I feel the love. You can sit down, I get it, man, I get it. Thank you so much. Loved you, y'all, just so much. Crystal, as we were getting ready to come over here just a few days ago, she said, Scott, man, how cool is it we get to spend the next week with 1,250 of some of our closest friends. And we truly mean that. I mean, what a neat, neat privilege we have to be able to come together. And I just want you to know, you know, Crystal, you know, every World Mission Summit, you know, we've shared together. So I'm thinking this CMC, hey, you know, Scott, no, not this time, hon. I love you, but not this time. This time is my time. This time is just me. But we're a team. We're a total team. But I really want you to know, it's just such a privilege to be able to serve you in this capacity. And we, just an honor and a privilege. We take it so seriously. We're so grateful to every one of you. Our heart is just to serve you. You know, as Harv shared, when I was raised in the Sons of God, I was getting a G kid and went to the University of Arizona. You guys heard my story. I just had that radical kingdom encounter on the campus. And it would forever change my life. But what really began to shift was that I said, you know what? I'm in pursuit of the authentic gospel. Not just the cultural gospel of the day, not just the fluff, but really in pursuit of the authentic gospel. I remember as students, as we'd sit in our dorm rooms in the student union and apartments, we're beginning to break open the Word of God and just read the Word of God. I remember us literally tooling out, what does this mean for us today? I mean, for right now, what does this mean for us today? How will we live? How will we act? How will we behave? How will we respond? Man, just the pursuit of the authentic gospel. And I've never left that. And I want you to know, as your director, I'm still in pursuit of the authentic gospel of the kingdom, and that I feel my charge for all of us in Chi Alpha is the authentic gospel of the kingdom of God. Man, I believe in strategic planning, you know, the strat ops and all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, I'm like, Jesus, we really need the authentic kingdom, and we need just a revelation of that in our lives and on the campus. I want you to know I'm in pursuit of that. I never heard really of discipleship until I got in Chi Alpha and started hearing this whole concept, this whole new concept of discipleship. And I thought, man, I'm all in, man. I'm a part of that. And so this raising up of others and replicating ourselves and to be Christ followers just so was deeply embedded in my life and heart. So I hung more and more out with Chi Alpha, and I said, man, these are the most Christian people I know. And like I said, I was raised in the Sons of God church. So I started hanging out with these Chi Alpha people. Man, I said, these are the most Christian people I've ever met. The time that we have here together right now at CMC is very, very special. There's something powerful about us gathering together to hear a corporate word, to engage in corporate worship, to engage in corporate prayer. There's something powerful about coming together. And we see that all through Scripture. Not only just in Scripture, we see it in our own lives, in our own ministry. The work and the anticipation that goes into our large group meetings, our SALT conferences that we so look forward to and we know that God's going to move at. The World Mission Summits, there's just something powerful about this corporate gathering. The kingdom dynamic when people gather together in His name. We see it in Acts chapter 2:1. They were all with one accord in one place. Acts chapter 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken. Significant moments take place when the church gathers together corporately. And that's why we're all here together now, because we're expecting God for significant moments as we gather together. A unity of vision, unity of purpose, power, and prayer and ministry. We pray that when you leave CMC, you depart with a fresh sense of purpose, with a fresh sense of destiny and anointing on your life and on your ministry. Now, let me tell you, since the last time we were here 4 years ago, there has been a lot of things that have changed. I can tell you this, man, when I assumed this role, I never expected to encounter and engage in some of the things that we've had to deal with. But man, I mean, there's been some fantastic things. I mean, we've got new leadership values. The guiding coalition got set in motion. We have a leadership matrix. The battle for religious liberty and our ability to maintain on campus was something I never could have imagined and where that would take us today. We have a new field director. I don't want to necessarily go into a whole lot of introductions. We do that, we get in trouble. We have a new field director, Stephanie Chappelle, someone carving out a whole new role for Chi Alpha. Paul Austin came on and really said, hey, I want to come be part of the team. I don't just want to be in isolation. You know why? Because there's something powerful about corporate togetherness. That's what it is. Something powerful about being together. Something about that unity, man. Want to come together, man. Paul leading that. Jeff Alexander completely revamping a whole new role, really. Just doing a fantastic job. Just battling for you. Brian and Minnie Hargett taking the reins with Expeditions from the Woodhams. I just want to say the Woodhams just did a fantastic job. Hashtag sent to Auburn. And so, man, we love them. They did a great job. Our expansion is Zimmerman. And wow, Crystal Martin being appointed the National Director for the Network of Women in Ministries and the Assemblies of God. Man, that is a... Dude, that is a shout out to Chi Alpha, friends. That is a significant, significant position. 4 years ago, and I'm not trying to give us a, ooh, yay, one of these things. Just so you know what's happened. 4 years ago, it reached you. We had 110 students. This year, we had 234. We have doubled in our missionary force size in the last 4 years. We have literally doubled in the number of workers we have in the field. Yet we still need to see the proportionality of those going in the field and students being discipled for Christ, because they're not equally proportional. We're seeing that and recognizing that right now. Ouch. Check this out. 32% of the 230, and by the way, our CMITs have doubled over the last 4 years as well. 32% of the 230 CMIT intern applicants for 2018-19 are non-white. This is roughly more than double what it was just a couple years ago. The Minority Mobilization Fund is making a difference. You may got frustrated getting hassled on that phone, baby, but it's making a difference. And I want to say thank you to Belkis and the Diversity Task Force for your ardent work and your just adroit leadership. I want to say thank you. If you have received, if you've been a recipient from the Minority Mobilization Fund, I'd like you to stand right now. If you've been, I want you to stand. Watch us sing. Come on. Thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to your brothers and sisters. Hey, sweeping growth, expansion, man, renewed credibility for those of you who are at General Counsel. Dr. George Wood shared his final message, his final address to the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. And Chi Alpha was a significant portion of that address. Who would have ever thought that one, man? I mean, there's been a raising of credibility for Chi Alpha. What we were 4 years ago is not what we are today. And what we are today is not what will be the next time we convene at CMC. A few months ago, I was in Hong Kong. I was leaning over the bay, looking at the fish, watching the boats pass by with Dick Brogdon. And if you guys know Dick Brogdon, well, he's very contemplative. So we're sitting there. We've been having some discussions. And Dick asks me this question. He says, Scott, in one sentence, not more than one sentence, what does Chi Alpha do? Well, that was real easy for me. That was very, very easy for me. I said, Chi Alpha disciple students. We disciple university students. Then he asked me the question, to what end? I said, to the ends of the earth, to the fulfillment of our mission statement, to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So I want you to know something, man. I believe in our mission statement, reconciling students to Christ, transforming the university, the marketplace, and the world. That's why I am all in with Chi Alpha and campus ministry, because I fully believe that university students have the potential to transform the world. And as we step up what God has called us to do, we disciple more students to be fully, wholly committed to follow Christ to the ends of the earth. I believe that we're going to see awakening that the world has never seen before. Hey, this mission statement to me is far more than just some little trite thing that I like to quote. It's not just portable parables. Mission statements are much easier to quote than they are to live out. Each morning as my sons were growing up, I used to speak something over them. I did so to be very, very deliberate. I wanted to impart values that I felt were so critical in my life and to our family and critical to their upbringing and their growing. Every morning before we go on the bus, I'd get down with them when I was in. I'd grab them by the hand and say, hey, men, call them men from the time they could barely walk, man. I wasn't raising boys, I was raising men. And I'll tell you what, man, with all of us in here, we're not a bunch of boys of God, we're men of God. You know, and so I was raising men. I said, men, influence, excellence, integrity and courage for Christ and his kingdom. And then look at me, for Christ and the kingdom. Boom. Yeah. Go send them on the bus, man. They get frustrated at me still. Because if they're home, before they go out that door. Man, remember. We got it, Dad. We got it. We remember. Okay, we got it. Excellence, influence, integrity, and courage. I've realized this, that excellence demands courage. Excellence is not easy. Excellence demands courage. A couple months ago, I was sitting with, received a call from John Battaglia from AGTS, the Assembly God Theological Seminary. He leads a doctoral of ministry program there. So John calls up and he says, hey, Scott, love to get with you and talk to you a little bit about just our revamping of the doctoral program, the Doctor of Ministry at AGTS. and just see how we might be able to serve Chi Alpha in this capacity. And so I said, man, sure, I'd love to get with you. You know, in Chi Alpha, we value education. We value higher education. I said, I'd like to bring Harvey Herman in this discussion if we can. You know, he's our doctor of the National Chi Alpha Ministry Center. And he's our program director. Oh, please, yeah, Harv. So we were sitting down having this conversation. Well, you know, John says, hey, Scott, you know, we've really upped our game at AGTS. And, you know, just all the programs, we really want to be able to serve Chi Alpha. He said, we've, you know, highly accredited, credible degrees. Man, we can work around in our cohorts with your Chi Alphans. But just how can we partner with Chi Alpha? How can we serve? Well, next thing, you know, Harv's kind of jumping in. You know, he's taking the lead now on this conversation. Well, if Scott were to do this, I'm like, what did you just say, man? If Scott were to do this, what would the cost be? You know, all of a sudden, if Scott were to, now how would this relate to Chi Alpha? And if Scott were to do this, so next thing you know, man, I'm signed up in the doctoral program at AGTS, okay? Thank you, Harv and John. And next thing you know, boom, I'm in the doctoral program. And I just, I want to give a shout out right now. They've got a booth out there. For those of you who are entertaining getting your doctorate degree, I want to tell you, I'm at the nascent stages of this right now, but every step I've taken has been nothing but excellent. Man, they have served well, highly credible degree, accredited multiple accreditations, and financially affordable. I know for so many of us, you might have the desire, but that financing is like, boy, how can we pull up? They have made it so that it is affordable for us as Chi Alpha. And so I would really encourage you, if you have an inkling at all, you're thinking about it, you want to expand your education, I'm going to encourage you to go and to see Dr. John Battaglia at the AGTS booth and talk to him a little bit about that. Come join the cohort, man. It was a significant thing. I had my first class just a little more than a week ago. And it was a class on folk Islam, and I'm going to it was a class on folk Islam and power encounter. Well, so I mean, hey, man, that's right in my alley. I mean, I'm going to start right there. I'm camping out there. So, and everything, there's a neat thing. You know, Harvey said, hey, everything has to benefit Chi Alpha. So my project, my end project is really going to be my book. And so, you know, everything's getting, Harvey said, everything has to relate to Chi Alpha. So I'm starting in, I'm cranking in on focus on power encounter. I was dealing with spiritual warfare. And we got in a dialogue. And let me just say this in the class. Some of them were taking it for seminar. But man, there was a good group of your Chi Alpha alumni in there. Probably one quarter of that class was Chi Alpha alumni, students who you had discipled, students who were going to the nation, students who had been to the World Mission Summits. They were giving you, they're praying about the lifetime. They're going to plant the banner of Christ in places around the world where it had never been planted before. They're going to the dark places. And I looked around and I was so blessed and encouraged because I saw excellence of discipleship in that room that morning. I said, man, this is awesome as our people are stepping up and they're going to the nations of the world. A conversation began to emerge. Conversation about warfare. And it got down to some of the Roman warfare, the way that the Romans used to do things. If you remember your Western civilization, or if you've done any deeper education in terms of warfare, you know that the Romans were high tacticians in warfare. Man, I mean, when they went in war to win. Their generals were brilliant, Vespasian and others. I mean, these people, when they went in to win. They fought together. It was always together. It was never one man unto themselves or every man doing what was right in their own eyes. They fought together as a unit. There were the legions, and some of these legions, that you know, you get different numbers, you know, 5,000, 4,200, but the legions were a mass of thousands of people, and those would be broken up into smaller groups called maniples. The maniples would have around 200 fighting men in them, and two centurions would lead these maniples, one in the back, one in the front. And it was these maniples that were highly, highly mobile. They were the ones at times when you see some of the movies who would have the shields and their swords, and they could just get down and just literally cover themselves from any arrows, from any rocks that'd be thrown. I mean, these dudes were fighting machines, man. They were awesome fighting machines. But here's the way that it worked if you were one of the soldiers in these maniples. And this is what came out in the class. Said, man, the centurion would come up before they went in the battle.
and to take a sword and to draw a one square yard square on the ground and to say, this is your ground. Hold your ground. You're not going over there. You're not going. You're staying right here. You hold your ground. This is your responsibility. You do not allow anyone to encroach it. You hold your ground unto death, but you hold your ground. And so that whole phrase that we get, hold your ground, that's where it came from. It was a Romanic phrase. It's a Roman phrase where they drew that thing in military and said, this is your one square. You don't have to fight this whole thing. Your only area of fight is right here in this one square yard until we release you. You stay right here. You hold your ground. And so these men did fight, but it's awesome because if it was coming face on, boy, you were here, but then it could rotate and go to the back and these people could get a rest. The powerful thing was this. There was one square yard. This was yours. You hold your ground. There's a battle that we wage. Some of you have heard me say this. I speak at district councils. I speak in some of these things at some places at general council. I use this phrase. Chi Alpha is planting the flag of Christ on the campus where it has not been. We're taking the flag and we're planting that there where it waves and people can see. I tell them, I said, you know what? When you buy a piece of property on the campus, man, it's the big flag. It's the big banner that people begin to see. It's waving that banner of Christ. I was reading Song of Solomon just last week. And in chapter 6, there's two verses where it says this, and he's referring to something. He says, it is terrible as an army with banners. Man, this thing is as terrible as an army with banners. What he was referring to is this ancient warfare, that when the armies would come, when the Roman legions would start marching down, and people could see them from miles as they come, but the first thing they saw were these massive banners of the legions that were flying. As they were walking through, the first things they saw were these massive banners, and they could identify which legion it was. And depending on the legion, it would strike fear in the hearts of the people who saw it coming. They'd say, oh my God. Saladin, the great Muslim warrior. When you read some of the writings from the Crusaders, when Saladin would come in and fight, they said the first thing they saw as they crested the hill were the banners that would fly in Arabic and just strike fear. Oh my God, Saladin. Oh my God, it's the Roman legion with Vespasian. You need to plant the banner of Christ on your campus. You need to plant you need to be like an army, a terrible army with banners. So when we walk on campus, that Satan and his minions see the banners that you are flying and they say, oh my devil, they're coming. They are coming, flying the terrible banner, sticking it in places where it's not been on the campus, ensuring, man, that flag of the kingdom of God is waving on the campuses. Now, this evening, I've got a friend of ours here, and Mark Gauthier, the national campus director for CRU, he's one of their vice presidents, is here with us tonight. He'll be saying, Mark, just stand up. Just something to say hi to you. Tomorrow morning, Mark will be sharing with you. Take a little bit of time. He'll share with you. And at that point, man, we can give him an appropriate welcome. But Mark, I just want to say thank you so much for making the effort to be with us here tonight at our campus missions conference. But just this whole thing of every campus, of planting the flag of Christ on every campus, planting that banner. Yeah, I used to say the flag, but now I'm going to say, no, man, I want to plant the banner. I want that thing to fly so big in the spirit realm that the enemy shakes and quakes, that God begins to move forward in ways that we've never seen before. We're part of the greatest student movement in history. And what a privilege we have to minister on the most strategic mission field in the world. Where every religion, every race, every creed, every culture is represented 365 days a year. And we as a church have the opportunity to be there, at least for now. Man, it is remarkable. And in a season where the Lord has spoken through multiple credible sources that we're about ready to witness the greatest student awakening in history, My goodness, and I've heard the reports from some of you of things that have happened, just saying, hey, we are seeing awakening now. And I'm hearing reports from our other campus ministers. This last year, InterVarsity, and Jason Thomas, the National Director, Campus Ministry for InterVarsity, will be with us this week as well. And he'll share a little bit with you. But man, this last year, they saw more students come to Christ than any other year in their history. Yeah, man. I've never been in awakening. I don't know what it's going to look like necessarily. But I do believe it's going to lead to a number of souls coming to Christ. I firmly believe a number of students coming to Christ and going global for the gospel of the kingdom of God. I want to remind us that excellence requires courage, boldness. In order for us to raise the bar, in order for you to raise the banner, it requires courage to raise the banner of Christ. Mark led Crew through some significant changes there at Crew. Mark, it took courage, didn't it? And it wasn't necessarily easy. But it took courage to begin to lead that organization through some changes, some things that needed to take place in order they might be the most excellent campus ministry that Crew could be. Now, I want to share just a couple of scriptures with us. You're going to pick, I just want you guys to pick up a theme here, okay? So I just want you to pick up a theme. It's going to be an easy theme to pick up. This is the creation story. And you feel like I'm really trusting, I'm taking all this to the funnel here, okay? I'm taking all this to the funnel. There's a purpose behind everything I've said. But it's in Genesis chapter 1, we hear the creation story, and there's something I want you to pick up, just a theme, and I'm going to read these scriptures really quick. Genesis 1 verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Genesis 1:10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. This is verse 21, and God saw that it was good. And God made the beasts of the earth, verse 25, according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that what? It was good. Are you picking up a theme here? God does things with excellence. He does it well. It is good. Listen to this one, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. I want to suggest to you this evening that our God is a God of excellence. Excellence is one of his values. Everything he does is good. When Jesus came to earth, everything he did was good. He implemented everything with excellence. At the age of 12, he blew the minds of the religious leaders. He ministered with speech. He ministered with excellence in his speech, in his healing, in his deliverance, even in his death. And man, I wish I could have been on the beach when he cooked the fish, because I'm just betting he exhibited culinary excellence as well. God, the God of the universe, does everything with excellence. He made everything with excellence. This is why excellence is one of Chi Alpha's core values. Our five core values: community, creativity, diversity, excellence, integrity, and servant leadership. Excellence is something that we say we believe in. It's something that we say we ascribe to. Excellence is a value of God. Therefore, it's a value of ours in campus ministry in Chi Alpha. Everything we do needs to be done with the highest levels of excellence. Our fivefold ministry philosophy needs to be implemented with excellence. Prayer, worship, fellowship, mission, and discipleship, which is the core and the key of what we're doing here at our CMC. To achieve excellence most of the time is not easy. The student athlete who pushes themselves to the limit to achieve excellence in their sport, the 4.0 student who stays up late at night to be at the top of their class, working hard, the Chi Alpha student leader who dispenses everything they have emotionally and spiritually to see their student, their small group, discipled in Christ. the student athlete, the 4.0 student athlete, who's a student leader in Chi Alpha, everything they do. Excellence is costly, and excellence can be painful. Excellence costs us something. And again, you can ask Mark Gauthier, if there's not a cost, there's not a pain to excellence. But excellence is something that God admires. It's one of his values, and it's something that he deserves from us as a movement and from us as individuals. It's because of this value of excellence that we've identified our four quadrants of healthy Chi Alpha. I mean, our desire to be an organization, a ministry of excellence. Man, we had to say, what does it mean for Chi Alpha to be healthy, to be excellent? Our four quadrants of healthy Chi Alpha, healthy leaders, which is our last CMC, disciple-making communities, spirit empowerment, and cross-cultural missions. This is excellent Chi Alpha. This is healthy Chi Alpha. But we must be excellent in our discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he discusses the difference between cheap grace and costly grace. I believe there's a cheap discipleship and a costly discipleship. I believe that there can be discipleship that is just easy. It's all about activity. It's all about friends. It's all about the phileo. Hey, bro, what up, man? Easy discipleship. Sometimes cheap discipleship. Man, they may be saved. Yeah, you may have kept them out of hell. But not much more than that. I believe Christ has called Chi Alpha to costly discipleship. When I saw those students in that class at AGTS in that doctoral class, I saw people who've been through costly discipleship. I saw those students who graduated, who waited out, who said, we'll go to the far ends of the earth where no one else has gone. We'll plant the banner of Christ where no one else. But I saw some costly discipleship. I saw some excellent discipleship that had taken place. Costly discipleship demands truth, integrity, sacrifice, and consistency. A discipleship that is excellent. We produce who we are. I know, listen, we produce who we are. So this last week, we did some interviews for those who have now become nationally appointed missionaries to U.S. missions with Chi Alpha. And forget, at the end of one of the interviews, and this person's probably in here tonight, at the end of this interview, they shared something. They copped an attitude. They copped an attitude, and that attitude that they copped revealed to me immediately where their DNA in Chi Alpha came from. Man, that attitude that this person reflected, I knew right away where that came from, because I had seen it before in others. I knew what that attitude was. And that attitude was this. Every single one of us who were interviewing him, they said, hey, Dr. Harv, I just want to say thank you. It was an attitude of graciousness, an attitude of thankfulness. Harv, I want to thank you for your book, Diba. And they just spoke gratitude to Harv. Then they went to Crystal. Crystal, they went through every one of us in there. I think there's one of us they didn't know as well. And I look forward to thanking you in the future, you know? I knew where that DNA came from. They came out of Corpus Christi at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. But man, it was an attitude that had started at Sam Houston State. Man, they copped an attitude, a kingdom attitude, a good attitude, an attitude of excellent disciple that just permeated all the way down in this way deep South Texas. I knew where that came from. It's funny, I watch people worship at times. So hey man, those guys are from Central Arkansas. I know, I can tell, man. I can tell, man. Trust me, they're from Central Arkansas. All right. Mark, when we were in Kyrgyzstan, I was invited to, it was a Christian Leaders Roundtable. So it was a real select group of Christian leaders who were invited, of Kyrgyz and foreign expats who came in this meeting. And out of the whole nation, there were probably less than 100 of us who gathered together. So I went to the field director from Assemblies of God World Missions. He and I were at this meeting. I looked over and I saw these four people, Mark, over there. And I leaned over and I bumped the field director. And let me tell you, they were not Americans. They were not Americans. I bumped the field director. Hey, those guys are Campus Crusade for Christ. I said, hey, those guys are Campus Crusade for Christ over there. He goes, how do you know? He said, you haven't even talked to them. Oh, I can tell just by looking at them. I can tell by looking at them, and I can tell by the way that they're interacting with people. I guarantee you their Campus Crusade for Christ. Hey, good to meet you. What do you guys doing? Oh, we're with Campus Crusade for Christ, you know? You know why? Excellence in discipleship, man. I mean, you reproduce what you are and who you are. I saw that. I knew that. Now I'm sitting in these interviews, and I'll read their plan. Okay, here's the plan. Man, I'm going to find, I'm going to feed, I'm going to fight for the lambs of God. Well, I know where you're from, okay? You reproduce who you are. We have to be excellent. We must exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and be examples. You must be an excellent disciple to produce excellent disciples. When we were living in Kyrgyzstan, anytime there was a guest who would come in the nation, I would invite them over. And I do this in National Catholic Ministry Center. Anytime I have a guest come in, they know I'll pull whoever's in together. And I'll have this guest come in and just speak into the lives of our whole team. I always did that in Kyrgyzstan as well. We had a visiting missionary from Kazakhstan. Matter of fact, his son's life was so impacted by Chi Alpha. He moved from Kazakhstan to get involved in Chi Alpha at Sam Houston State Chi Alpha. This was so transformed his life. So this person was there, Peyton Harris, and the question came up. Somebody asked Peyton the question. Now, Peyton, what do people in Central Asia need more than anything else? What's the most important thing they need? I'll never forget what he said. He said, what people in Central Asia need more than money, more than food, more than buildings, they need examples. They need examples of what the true kingdom of God is. They need examples of what true Christians are. Let me tell you what students need more than anything else are examples. And we must be the examples of excellence of the kingdom of God in their lives. Now, I'm going to give you a new definition, Harv. It may not be new, but let me give you my simple definition of discipleship. Discipleship is a relationship of taking people from where they are to where they need to be to fulfill God's plans for their life. Just as pragmatically as possible, it's taking them from where they are to where they need to be to fulfill God's plans for life. In discipleship, you reproduce who you are. And that means that we must be excellent disciples, because disciples replicate your life more than they replicate your teaching. And Chi Alpha must live up to its value of excellence. So what I'm doing tonight is saying this, friends. We've grown from Harv's first CMC to 32 to a CMC of nearly 1,250. What we were 4 years ago is not what we are today. What we will be at the next CMC is not what we are today. We will grow, we'll continue to expand, we'll continue to plant the flag, the banner of Christ on our campuses. But in order to do that, we have to be committed to this core value of excellence. We have to be committed to our fivefold ministry of disciple-making communities. But in order for that to happen, you must be an excellent disciple, not just an excellent campus pastor, campus director. You have to be an excellent disciple, because they're going to replicate your life more than they're going to replicate your teaching. I just want to wrap things up. I'm going to end with a little story, but I'm going to wrap things up. Something's going to be a little more challenging for us. Crystal got her master's in organizational leadership, wrapped it up a year or so ago, which means I got one as well. You know, so I heard all the papers, read my paper. So actually, John, I really do have a master's in information. So she got, and I'll never forget a conversation she had with me. And so we have to talk a little bit about Walmart and stuff. Now, what I'm going to share with you, trust me, I did not get this out of a book. This will be in my book that's coming out soon, okay? This will be in my book, chapter 18. So this will be in my book. I did not read this. But as you just do a study of organizations and ministries of excellence, there's some things that really stand out. I want to point this out because I think it relates to us as a movement. As Chi Alpha is a movement, let me say this. A win for one is a win for all. Man, you celebrate, man. We celebrate when these wins happen, man. Tonight, I celebrate Texas A&M, who after 2 years, you know, started with nothing, and now they're over 200. We celebrate that. It's a win for all of us, okay? But a loss for any of us becomes a loss for all of us. Man, when Chris and I first stood before the executive presbytery, we had one guy stand up and start asking some nasty question. I'm like, man, where is this coming from? You know why? He'd seen a loss in his district. There was a loss. Chi Alpha had represented something he didn't like, and he's saying it before the most influential board and all the assemblies of God. This loss was affecting our entire movement. What I'm saying is, when you don't do things with excellence, it affects all of us. Sorry. When we don't do things with excellence, it affects all of us. A loss for one becomes a loss. Again, I was meeting with another real influential pastor who's an EP. And I was garnering, hey, man, we need advocates in Chi Alpha. Man, I got an earful of smack, man. An earful of smack. And I didn't think it was accurate, but it was his perception. And a loss for one is a loss for all of us. It affects the entire movement when people of influence get out of there. That's as important as an organization. We're an organization of excellence. Organizations of excellence, number one, they're committed to that. No, don't get scared. He's just on his first point. No, don't get scared. Okay. Don't get scared. Just get okay. Organizations of excellence, ministries of excellence, they're committed to values. They're committed to values. They're totally sold on their values. We have our values, and we quoted what those are. Our leadership values, honor, respect, unity, and prayer. Our Chi Alpha values of community, creativity, diversity, excellence, integrity, servant leadership. Ministries of excellence are committed, all in, committed to their values. Organization, basically, if you're not committed to values, you cannot work for them. So Crystal told me, she's talking a little bit, they'd done a study with Walmart and the values of Walmart and how Walmart... Man, if you're an executive, if you don't own your own plane, dude, you're not flying first class on them. Man, you're going to fly coach like the rest of the world does because the rest of the world is who they serve. There isn't any sense of prima donna within the executive levels of Walmart. Man, you're going to be like everybody else here. Their values of equality and equanimity amongst their people. You want to know why some groups get so fully funded so quick like that? Because it's a value that they have. And as a ministry, man, they push through. People are bought in to values. Organizations of excellence are bought into the values. So these values that we have up in Chi Alpha, let's just let me say this. If we're not all completely bought into these things, then we need to get out. Because it's going to hurt the movement. Everything we're honor, respect, unity and prayer, servant leadership, excellence, and these things are things that we are as a movement in Chi Alpha. And it distills down at every single level of where we are because we replicate who we are. Quality assurance. Now, they like to talk quality control, but God forbid I'd ever use the word control in here, okay? Quality assurance. Man, when you look at an organization like McDonald's, this is, man, I work at McDonald's, you get the franchise at McDonald's. Dude, you're signing on the dotted line. Hey, what we produce here from now on, when we're putting those golden arches up, what we produce, it will be excellent, and there's going to be quality assurance, quality control. Doesn't mean everything's cookie cutter, but what it means is this, that you're able to get a Coke with ice everywhere around the world, You're able to get those signature fries wherever you go. In other words, there's things no matter where you go around the world, it says, this is McDonald's. And you guys know when you travel around the world and your team's tired of eating the rice and other stuff. Man, where's the first thing in mind? Dude, we're going to McDonald's, man. There's the Golden Arches. Do you want to know why? Because it's just a quality, man. You go in, you get to feel at home, and I'm going to get down to the final part, but you get to feel at home when you go in there. And you know what? It doesn't even need to say McDonald's. All you need to see is the Golden Arches. You don't even need to see. All you need to see is the Golden Arches. And you know what that is because they've been committed to their values, and there's been quality assurance that they have. You can say the same thing for Starbucks. But when you look at these organizations of excellence, when you look at ministries of excellence, these ministries of excellence are committed to their values. They're committed to quality assurance. It doesn't mean everything is cookie cutter. What it means is we produce excellence. There's a reason why we have the value of diversity. It means, and creativity. Doesn't mean everything's exactly the same, but what it means, what our core values are, it is the same. That for us to say in the CMIT, hey, if you want to learn discipleship, go up to Bellingham. You know, if you want to learn XAI, you know, go to Carbondale. We should never have to say that. We should be able to say, if you want to learn discipleship, go to any CMIT. You want to learn XAI, go to any CMIT. You're going to get it. That's called quality assurance wherever we go in Chi Alpha. That is excellence. That is what we need to be as a movement, as an organization. McDonald's, here's another interesting thing with McDonald's. You go into India, you go to McDonald's in India, and they have them there, you can get a vegetarian meal. Okay, you go into the Gulf States, you can get the Muck Arabia, okay? Because they're able to morph things according to the culture. They can twist, but they still have their signature series things. You can still get that you know, two beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, okay? You can still get those signature fries. It's still there, but they're also to morph things according to culture. Quality assurance doesn't mean absolute control. But what it means is that we're making sure that we're doing things right. It says we're making sure as an organization, we're moving with excellence. Let me tell you, when it's every man unto themselves and everybody does what is right in their own eyes, we're going to get in trouble as a movement. Amen, Scotty. Amen. We're going to get in trouble as a movement. Not to squelch creativity at all. Man, we want to be creative. I don't think anybody here would sit there and say there's ever anyone's ever tried, you know, area director try to control, or, you know, National Chi Alpha Ministry try to control. No. What I'm saying today is this, as we've grown, as we continue to grow, as we end up on Capitol Hill, as there's battles being fought, we must be a ministry of excellence. And that requires that there may be some changes that we have to make that can be painful. To achieve excellence isn't easy. It can be painful at times. Now I've got your attention. Man, what is he talking about? Harvey will tell you. I'm just kidding. Excellence costs something. It's not always easy. It can be painful. The other thing that these organizations have, last little thing, is consistency. Man, you go in, there is consistency. That's what we love about McDonald's. That's what your team loves, because when they get in, they get a taste of Americana, man. No matter where they are in the world, whether you're in Tokyo, whether you're in Delhi, you know, whether you're in Dubai, you get a McDonald's, you feel home. Why do you feel home? Because it's consistent. It's consistent around the world. Can I tell you, if I go to Chi Alpha in Maine, and I go to Chi Alpha in San Diego, doesn't mean they have to be cookie cutter replicates, but it means I should see something that's consistent. Something that says, oh, this is Chi Alpha. This is my DNA. This is who we are. But if we're doing every man unto ourselves, not going to work, man. It's going to kill a movement, and it could hinder an awakening. I want to suggest this. An independent spirit has the potential to damage a great awakening. It won't stop it because God has spoken, but it has potential to damage it. Everything we do must be good. Very good. In other words, what we do must be in line with our core values of excellence. It affects all of us. A win for one is a win for all, and a loss for one is a loss for all. Let me end with this. I'm calling us tonight as an organization to excellence in discipleship. I'm calling you to be excellent disciples. I'm calling you to disciple with excellence. I'm calling us in everything that we do as a ministry to do it with excellence. Doesn't mean that it all looks the same, but what it says is that we're bought into our values of Chi Alpha. We are bought into those values. We live those values out. We replicate those values. We teach those values. That is what I'm saying. That's what a movement is. I asked seven people in Chi Alpha, seven directors. I said, hey, tell me, just kind of like Brogdon said, well, what does Chi Alpha do? I asked him, I said, so tell me, what is Chi Alpha?
Well, wait, you don't know what Chi Alpha is? You're the director?
No. I want to know what you think Chi Alpha is. Tell me, what do you think Chi Alpha? Do you want to know? Six out of seven started with this. Literally, I asked them independently. Six out of seven started with this. We are a movement. We. They didn't use it. Well, my group or whatever. They said, we are a movement. And that said something to me, that our level of camaraderie, our commitment to each other, our affinity that we have, the family, XA Nation, the movement. Man, we're family, we're together. You know what? Family expresses similar DNA, you know that? Wherever you go, family expresses similar DNA. And I'm not saying that we're in trouble. I'm calling us to the highest levels of excellence that we can be as we're walking into a season of awakening, as God's about ready to unleash something. In the mid-1980s, let me close with this story. In the mid-1980s, there was a small awakening that began to take place out on the West Coast at the University of Pacific. Donnie Moore, man, God began to stir on his life, really began to use him in the supernatural. Things began to take place, and that small group went from nothing to over 300. I mean, God was just showing up and seeing the way students were coming to Christ. Some of those students who came to Christ, one of them got in one of the dorms and began to pray and just began to intercede and seek God. So they're praying for the people on each side of their dorm and their dormies. They're just interceding and praying there at the University of Pacific. And a girl by the name of Stephanie Chappelle moved in to one of the dorms where this girl had been praying. And Stephanie ended up coming to Christ. Stephanie ended up going up to Chico State. She assumed the call to Chi Alpha Ministry. She went up to Chico State University. There at Chico State, Stephanie Chappelle met a young lady by the name of Lindsay Q2. And Lindsay was a little heathen girl who had come to Christ. She'd been discipled, filled with the Spirit, just raised up in Chi Alpha. And Lindsay was challenged when Katie and Guido Hygienius said from Chico, you know what, they had gotten saved at Chico. They'd come to Christ, come to faith at Chico. They said, we're going to go. I'd ask if they would be willing to come to the University of Arizona and help Chi Alpha the University of Arizona. So when they did, at Chico State College, they said, if some of you students would like to transfer with us, you can transfer with us here to the U of A. So Lindsay Q2 ends up coming to the U of A. She went to the First World Mission Summit. There at the First World Mission Summit, she responded. She's one of those first people to respond to that call. That very first call we ever had, she's one of those who responded to the call to give a year and pray about a lifetime. And there she was continued to be discipled in Chi Alpha at the University of Arizona. But it was April of that year. I was walking across the camp, didn't tell anybody I was there. I was just praying, walking across the campus. As I did, 35,000 students, I happened to walk into Lindsay. Lindsay, hey, have you decided where you're giving your year yet? And this is April, she's supposed to go in August. No, can't even decide yet. Well, why don't you go with Crystal and I to Kyrgyzstan? Okay. Remember, she didn't even pray about it. You know, all right, I'll go with you. I like that, man. So she, in a matter of months, raised her whole budget. She was out there in August with us in Kyrgyzstan. Another girl, her name is Rochelle Denton. Rochelle Denton was from North Carolina, and she had she was at the World Missions Summit. She committed to give. She was there with us as well. And both of these girls had impact on Mercer and Marcus, our sons there. But they met a young lady, a Kyrgyz lady, by the name of Asel. And Asel came from a small Kyrgyz village, 99.9% of the people there. She said it's not that they were Christians. They'd never even heard of the gospel. She said it was just totally unreached. She just, you know, they were completely unreached. So she was coming out of that background. She's on the university. She ends up meeting Lindsay and Shelley, and they just begin to speak into life. They begin to disciple this non-believer. See, you replicate who you are. They just began to just relationship. Remember, discipleship, my name, discipleship is the relationship of taking somebody from where they are to where they need to be to fulfill God's purposes in their lives. So they took this little Muslim girl and they just began to pour their lives into a cell. Man, I can remember a cell in that October coming up to me. She says, "Scott, I know everything you guys are saying is true." She said, "But I'm a Muslim, and I've seen what's happened to the Muslims when they become Christians." In other words, she said, "I'm counting the cost on this." It was that March, I think Asel had already made a public, she'd already made a heartfelt connection to Jesus, but in March, she made a public confession at our first retreat, just a radical, all-out public confession. And it was there that Shelley and Lindsay just began to pour in and pour into Asel. Now listen to this. It went from Donnie to students, went to Stephanie, went to Katie and Guido, it went to Lindsay, and now Lindsay's in Kyrgyzstan. Now she's ministering to Asel. Asel, man, this girl is radically saved. She's all in Jesus. She's all in Chi Alpha. Well, Sam used to say at that time and made a 5-year commitment to us out there in Kyrgyzstan for our International Little League. We have this guy, Ryan, who's on the team. And Asel, she started becoming our interpreters. Well, I saw Ryan, and he's having goo goo eyes over her, you know. I mean, you can start seeing it, okay? So I pulled him aside. "Hey, come here. Yeah, you, come here, man. Sit down. Listen, I don't need any American guy coming breaking the heart of our Kyrgyz girls. You understand?" I said, "I don't want them to get an image of what the American Christian guy's like." I said, "You understand that?" "Yeah, okay, listen. You'd even look at her. I didn't want to see you looking at her unless you're committed to marry her. Do you understand me?"
"Yeah, yeah, yeah."
I said, "Let me tell you the 4 criteria of dating for looking at her." So he can tell you the whole story. I mean, perfect points. "Yeah, man, you really scared me, you know." So I said, "You need to understand this. If you marry her, you're marrying her whole family. You get that?" I said, "And also, you're going to end up supporting her whole family as well. You understand this?" So I'm like, "Yes, yes, yes. All right." Well, he kept looking at her, all right? He kept looking at her. So I ended up doing a wedding. This last World Missions Summit, they were living in Houston. Asel had come to the state. She's living in Houston. So check this out, man. It goes from Donnie Moore to student to Stephanie to Katie and Guido to Lindsay to Shelley Denton as well, and Asel. And let me say this, my son Mercer, when he, as a Chi Alphan, gave a year and prayed about a lifetime in Russia, he ended up serving with Shelley Leffler, now Jake and Shelley Leffler, who are in Russia, okay? So you see all these pieces, all this discipleship, this excellent discipleship that came together. So Asel and Ryan, World Mission Man, they're there, and they said, "Hey, you know what? Let's go to the World Mission Summit. And let's go see our friends. Let's go where it all started, man." So they go to the summit, not expecting anything. You know, most people, these poor students, they go there, they're not expecting, but they're about ready to get there, you know. So they go to the World Mission Summit, and I'm sorry, I've gone longer than what I anticipated. That night that we gave a call to give your and pray about a lifetime, Asel said she really felt it. "But God, you better be speaking to Ryan, because you have to give up a good paying job. You have to lay some things aside." They both felt it. They came up, they signed on the dotted line, give a year and pray about a lifetime. This March, had the privilege at their AGWM commissioning service of laying hands on those two and praying over them at their AG, as they're giving at least 2 years with Jake and Shelley in Russia. This is why we do what we do, friends. This is why we do what we do. We disciple with excellence, and it is the call. If our worship team would come up. I know that some of us here, we've came here, and you've had a rough year, man. Some of us come in, and we're just hoping that maybe while we're here, God's going to do something. Maybe while we're here, some of you may be on the brink of saying, dude, I'm done. I think I'm done. You know what? Don't step away from the flag yet. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. Don't give it up yet. Reinforcements are coming. Don't give it up. Hold your ground. Plant the flag. Plant the banner of the terrible armies of the Lord on that campus. We're saying his minions shudder. But some of us are tired. Some of us are feeling great. Some of us are inspired. I'm telling you, man, God, during CMC, he wants to speak a new word into you. I think tonight he wants to start with a new word of this. Be the most excellent disciple you can be and disciple with the highest levels of excellence. Do everything you do with the highest levels of excellence. But this evening, I want us to worship here for a minute, and I want us to have some time of ministry.